Hi, I'm Peter Crick, and welcome to 2ARM, the Friday morning wrap of the week. And I'm very pleased to have on the phone today Robert Bell, the Mayor of Yooralla Shire Council. Welcome, Robert, and thank you very much for taking our call.
Not a problem at all. Thank you, Peter, for giving us the opportunity.
It's been a while since we had a chance to talk to you, and I know you're away for a while, but quite clearly there would have been a lot of things happening since earlier on the year when you took over as Mayor of the Yooralla Shire Council. How's that 6 months been?
Yeah, look, extremely busy, Peter. I think I counted up last week that the councillors and staff had 16 meetings to go all through all of the issues, that finally come up with an operational plan that was adopted at the last meeting. We've still got work to do, and we appreciate that all the ongoing challenges you can imagine, and we've included, you know, an organisation-wide service review, the review of our structure, the further work on our asset plans to try and finalise them, and ensuring our focus is on the development and growth of the Shire. So plenty of work that's gone on already from the staff and councillors, and plenty more work to be done, as you can imagine.
Is there any issues that are seeming to come to the fore during those reviews?
No, I think the biggest issue is around financial sustainability and how council our size looks at maintaining the core services, including maintaining McMoore Gardens aged hostel, and also making sure that we look at other revenue streams. So a lot of discussion about how we can do that without further impacting on the residents and ratepayers.
Yes, I think it's a challenge just about every council in New South Wales has at the moment. Is it something that's going to be a real issue in terms of trying to keep the rates down but at the same time keep the services coming?
I think that it's front of mind. And one of the areas, obviously, that we're keen to explore is around the renewable energy development that's going on in our region. And we need to make sure that the whole of community benefit from those projects. I mean, the capital expenditure is in the hundreds of millions. Seems a shame that they can't make a 1.5% contribution to the council and maintain the services. They obviously significant pressure on key parts of our community, not the least of our roads and housing. And as I say, we're keen to see that the benefits can flow through the whole Shire. Landowners where the solar farms or wind turbines are on the property see a direct benefit, and some nearby, but we're keen to see it spread across the Shire.
Are you confident you'll be able to make that happen?
I'm quietly confident. We've had wonderful support from we've been working with the mayors in the region, which has been a real positive. Walker, Armidale, Glen Innes, Inverell, to act as one voice, but we're going to need our local member and the Minister for Planning to make it happen. So we've got some steps to go through, but at the end of the day, it may need more push, and it's definitely not in the legislation yet.
Yeah, that's all new ground, isn't it, I suppose?
Well, I think that if we go back 4 or 5 years ago, there was always a voluntary planning agreements where they would make money available for the community, small community projects. We're talking about a more significant expenditure by those companies, and we believe they're in a good position to do it, and we're keen to maximise their benefits.
Yeah, for really, renewable energy developments are in their infancy at the moment compared to what the planning is going forward into the next decade and more further.
We've got one wind turbine set up on our Shire boundary with Tamworth. We've had another two in the last 2 weeks talking about where companies have been talking to local residents and obviously looking to sign them up and then make more public information available. So we know that this region needs to produce 8,000 megawatts, and at the moment I think we've probably got plans on the table for 1,000, so there's a lot more to come. And included in that, of course, is another 400 kilometres of transmission lines that need to be constructed. So we're going to see huge variation across our whole region, and the state government needs to be mindful that they need to take us along with them.
Yes, well, I'm sure everybody's hoping that'll be the case. You've also, in your latest article in the Yooralla Wordsworth, talked about the census results too, which you said that you found interesting.
Yeah, we were down slightly, not as much as had been predicted by the Department of Planning, fortunately, but I think that reflects probably us coming out of the drought. I know the Armidale figures clearly reflect the changes in the university numbers for, you know, how many on-site students they had, which has obviously had a huge effect in Armidale, and we've seen a bit of the edge of that. But it's always been my view that we need small but steady increases in population, not the decrease. And there's obviously more work to be done around the age profiles of the, because if the population's becoming older, or and we're missing out on that, you know, 25 to 35 age area, then that's a serious issue for us as far as, you know, the trades and the amount of entrepreneurial skills that we need to see in the Shire.
Yeah, so going forward, that's part of the planning. Your operational plans are including that sort of addressing those sorts of issues.
Yeah. Well, I think, and again, some of that reflects back to the renewable energy, where, you know, the boom and bust cycles. You know, if I look at the effects of, say, you know, the Gyra abattoir closing or the Gunnedah abattoir closing, things we need to. We're going from 300 at the construction phase for a solar farm down to 10 when it's operational. That's got a very huge effect on the regional populations, and we need to try and extend that out. And part of that is this, and there was discussions yesterday at a forum I was at where about how, if we can access cheaper power, for instance, or access industries that are aligned with the renewable energy, then that would be the way for us to maintain that population. And obviously they need there'll be skills development required as well. So it's all an exciting time, if you like.
Yes. So given they're still not certain exactly what the effects of the pandemic are going to be on communities such as ours, but there's a lot of reinvention going on just in the short time since the lockdowns have been removed, and no one really knows what the implications that'll be in the pandemic going forward, and how it's going to affect populations and the dynamics of them in our areas.
Yeah, I think that 4 years ago I probably hadn't seen a Zoom meeting. I think I average about four a week at the moment. and clearly, even the UNE's been, you know, it was obviously well set up originally, but lots of courses now that are offered online with you know, maybe a week's residential here or there, which were never available online, so, you know, like engineering that my son's recently completed was out of Rockhampton or something. So, you know, those things are now, and we need to adjust to that. And part of that's making sure we've got good internet access across the Shire. So, we've asked one of the managers from NBNK to address council on where they see the future for particularly internet access. I think the mobile phone access is a whole other challenge. Clearly, people need good data access if they're going to do the work from home or study from home that may be required in the future.
Mm. And that's been a big issue in both our shires, both the Armidale and our Euralis shires. But has there been anything done to address it in the recent times? The fact that there's still very poor mobile access in the western parts of the Shire, and along with that, of course, is data access as well.
Yeah, we've seen, I think the data access issues, probably some of it's being now covered by satellite access. So that's more an issue of what people might be prepared to pay to have that access. Mm. Clearly, the fact that schools needed to have, to be able to do remote learning while they had the challenges of COVID, has widened the access across the community. And when we talk about Rocky River later, one of the positive things they had is that because of the pandemic and short-term decisions they needed, they had really good access to be able to communicate with all of the parents about what was going on, keep them updated, all simply by email or updated newsletters electronically. So that wouldn't have been available probably 5 years ago, the old notes in the school bag, and never quite got to the parents' table. And so those things, we've seen a huge change in that area. The mobile phones, we've seen a couple of towers in the Shire, but unless you've got a line of sight, and that's very difficult in the, you know, what I would call hilly, I won't call it mountainous terrain, but is challenging. And it's actually one of the issues we're looking to raise with the wind turbine operators, that they'll probably need to upgrade their mobile phone access, because a lot of the controls a remote control. You know, they run the business from Sydney or Brisbane or wherever they happen to be. But so upgrading that sort of those services will need to be part of their business model.
Yeah. And you mentioned Rocky River School there as an example. But there has been some issues with Rocky River School in the last 5-6 weeks, and I believe that things are looking a bit better now. Can you just give us a rundown what happened there?
Very impressive, yeah. At one stage they had an engineering review just before the end of last term, a couple of weeks before the end of last term, that decided that the building was unsafe. There was structural cracking. I did talk to a resident who says it's been moving down the hill for the last 30 years, but obviously now it became past the point where it was safe for the students and the teachers. Full credit to Adam Marshall and and his colleagues that have been able to, the Minister for Education, that have been able to have two demountables back in place for the first of the new term. So I take my hat off to them. It was a huge challenge, and, you know, I guess got a population of a student population of 42, which is substantial, but I guess the worry is always that the powers that be in Sydney might take the opportunity to close a school down like that. We're very upsetting for the students and the parents and the community and such. So, yeah, positive outcome.
Mm. Yes, well, students had to relocate temporarily to Yarralla Central School, didn't they?
Yeah, and congratulations to the Central School. They did a great job of fitting them in and making them feel welcome. Mind you, that I understand that between a sports day and a couple of excursions, that the students from Rocky River still had their own activities to, they could also do at the same time. But no, it was and all those things amongst everything else, it sets huge challenges for everybody. So as I say, I'm really, really impressed that you know, they came out early and said no, they were going to put the demountables in, and that has occurred.
Yeah, well, that's great. Good outcome there. As a way of finishing up today, about 5 weeks ago, you alluded to the fact that you found out that there had been a petition from 100 Mundara residents about relocating the boundaries of Mundara to the Inverell Shire. Has there been any developments in that area since?
No, I've actually contacted the Residents Association and asked for a copy for that petition. I haven't seen the petition, which is frustrating. There was a petition last year about service issues, and we thought we'd address a number of them, but obviously not to everyone's satisfaction. I have put a Merrill Minute out suggesting that that council won't support Mundara moving to Inverell. Most of the issues raised by Mundara relate to, you know, the fact that Inverell provides most of their services, which doesn't, the council boundaries make no effect on that. Most Imigari people access their services in Armidale. Walker people and Yarralla people all travel to Armidale to work, so none of those are affected by council boundaries. We, you know, as a council, we've probably spent 90% of our capital expenditure in the last 5 years in the Mundara area, so we don't believe we've neglected them. But those need to be ongoing discussions, and clearly one of the issues for us is to get out and personally address, you know, the actual, what they see is what we think is the reality versus what they see as the reality, to ensure that it, you know, they feel like they're being listened to.
Yeah, and has there been any communications with the Inverell Shire about the fact that it was discussed there?
No, and that's another frustration for me. I actually, I saw a copy of their council resolution from February. I emailed the Mayor after I was interviewed on the ABC regarding that matter, and I haven't seen a response to that. But again, I would have preferred that they make some formal advice about how they wish to proceed. The advice from Adam Marshall was that, you know, Tinga took 4 years to sort, and that was with both councils encouraging them to move to Inverell. So I don't imagine they'll be flat out. But I guess the bottom line for me is that any attempt to go back into having the boundaries commissions and reviews and revisiting amalgamations destroyed all the goodwill between the councils, and I'm in no position to want to see that happen again. So
yeah.
I'd rather it we deal with it internally.
Yeah, oh, thanks for being forthright about that. And I wish you all the best in the challenges you have there. Anything else you'd like to add before we finish?
No, I think just, you know, reiterate that point that, you know, the councillors and the staff have been working very diligently trying to, you know, address a whole lots of issues. I think our last business paper was over 500 pages. So there's been some huge commitment from everybody involved to keep on top of it. And as I say, we look for the little positive things that happen and make the best of them.
Yeah.
I appreciate your time, Peter. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Robert, and I look forward to talking to you again in the near future.
Not a problem at all. Thanks, Peter.
I've been speaking to Robert Bell, the Mayor of the Arrala Shire Council.